Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
This is Pam Shriver.
This is Yannick Noah.
This is Chris Vaughn in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to your final tennis podcast of 2022. And particular hello to Chris Vaughan from Minneapolis, Minnesota, who introduced the show there. Thank you, Chris. Not only for being a friend, Chris is a friend for 2023, but also for teaching David that Minneapolis is indeed in Minnesota. I said, it's Chris, the intro today, isn't it, from Minneapolis? And David said, no, Minnesota.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Geography really wasn't my strong point, and it was the lowest point of the very low points of the Lost Law years in the 90s. I got thrown out of the course before I even got a chance to take the exams. So maybe I should take them now that I know the Minneapolis news.
And David, colon, the Lost Law years, is a permanent fixture on our list of ideas for shows for friends of the pod. Whether David will ever let it be made, I don't know, but we will keep putting it on the list. If you'd like to become a friend of the Tennis Podcast, the link to do so is in our show notes. We've only got 6 pet mascot slots left to fill. 44 have gone. All of the Grand Slam mascots have gone. All the presenter mascots have gone. We don't know who we've got yet, but we've all got someone. There was a brief moment where Matt informed me that 2 had gone and someone was left on the shelf.
who would it have been? We should check with the 2 that had gone. Who would it have been? Or maybe we shouldn't put ourselves through that.
Well, we are going to have to put ourselves through that because we ask, it's a first come, first served. So we will know who
would have been
left
on the
shelf.
Great. Can't wait. Anyway, if you would like to get one of those 6 pet mascot slots, then get in there quick, quite frankly. And if you'd like an intro like Chris today, shout out, executive producer, guest editor, all of that stuff. The link to find out about all of it is in our show notes. This is going to be a kind of wrapping up the straggly bits of tennis news that just keep trickling in because tennis never stops type podcast. That wasn't a hard sell I just did, was it? But
Plus hype for
23. Hype for 2023. Look, I mean, I'm joking, but tennis doesn't ever stop. I mean, I think tennis is literally happening as we speak, somewhere in the Middle East.
In that one where they've got the court colour coding, which really doesn't show up the ball. Is it that one?
I'll be honest, I wouldn't know. I've not watched any of the hashtag greatest show on earth, World Tennis League in Dubai.
Yeah, it's exhibition season, isn't it? And
and then some.
Exhibition season used to mean kind of that one sort of 3-day weekend-long exhibition in Abu Dhabi, which was kind of a staging post, wasn't it, for players en route to Australia. And it's just proliferated exhibition season. It now occupies the whole off-season, all sort of 1 month of it. There's events in, there was one in Saudi Arabia last week, wasn't there? Won by Taylor Fritz, $1 million purse just for winning that. And goodness knows, which is pretty similar to what he won for winning Indian Wells. And goodness knows what else in appearance fees for all the players there. There's been Abu Dhabi as well. I saw Emirati Kanu and Ons Jabeur playing an exhibition there. Rafael Nadal and Casper Ruud have been jollying around South America.
They've had a tour.
There's some sort of what's billing itself as the greatest show on earth happening in Dubai right now. There's the Battle of the Brits happening in Scotland with team captain Ali McCoist.
And Ian Holloway.
I mean, things are getting out of hand, aren't they?
Well, I think some of those you've just described, they don't feel like exhibitions. They feel like events that are trying to become tour events and an extension of the season. And the players are buying into them in a way that is making it so. So it further dilutes this idea that they want and need an off season. If, I mean, yes, you need a degree. I guess there is a degree that if you have some match play, that's helpful for your next year and all the rest of it. And they look at it as massive earning opportunities. And some of the players are more honest about that than others. And okay, would I just sniff at any financial offer that came my way? Some I absolutely would. Others maybe I wouldn't. But I do find it a bit sad that it doesn't seem to matter what the offer is, as long as it's big enough, it's accepted by vast numbers of tennis players. And I really do fancy keeping a bit of a record of the players that have played the most in December to see how they get along in the new year generally, and how their year goes, and whether they're any further advanced than where they were in November.
And I know it's a tricky business talking about places in the world where it feels morally or ethically not okay to take huge sums of money to go and play and potentially be an instrument of a sports washing regime. And I'm sure with the World Cup having just taken place in Qatar, people's appetites for discussion about that might be at an all-time low. Everybody might feel like they've had their fill. And I know there's all sorts of arguments that fly around about, you know, there is no country with clean hands. You know, you could very well make the argument that the WTA final shouldn't have been taking place in a state with such a poor and declining record on women's rights, and in particular abortion rights. That, I think that's quite a compelling argument, but it's whataboutery, isn't it? I mean, to quote another podcast that we all listen to, Philippe Auclair on the Guardian Football Weekly, we are all dining with the devil, aren't we? It's just a case of how long your spoon is, how long you're prepared for your spoon to be. And I think the fact is, if your spoon is short enough for Saudi Arabia, it's pretty much short enough for anywhere, isn't it? You're saying, I will play anywhere.
It's too short.
Money. It's too short, isn't it? People's spoons will be different lengths, and people have different judgments about those lengths. I accept that. But if your spoon is Saudi Arabia, then
there's not much further to go.
You're not really bothered at all about the ethics, I don't think.
And that came up in golf this year, didn't it? Via actually a tennis journalist, Neil McLemon, was involved with the press conference at the opening of the LIV Saudi Tour. And he said to these players, well, would you play in Russia at the moment? You know, where would you
if
not
if invited
play?
By Putin specifically, and you were offered enough money, would you play?
And they all got very nervous and didn't have an answer. They didn't say no, you know. I think that just shows the point that you've made. There.
That's hypothetical, I think, was one of the answers they got.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Helpful.
David, just to rile you up further, news from Nick Kyrgios' Instagram. The Miami Pickleball Club is being launched by Nick Kyrgios and Naomi Osaka. That silence you can hear, folks, is David's face just crumpling.
That's information I didn't need.
But yeah. Introducing the @MiamiPC Big Welcome to our draft picks. We are coming for you at King James, at Easy Money Sniper, at Tom Brady.
But I saw it coming, in as much as he's been back-chatting anybody who dares say a word against pickleball recently on Twitter, I noticed. And clearly he's got a hand in the game. He's revealed that hand now. And I'm quite sure they're making it worth his while, him investing or them paying him to invest. I don't know what the truth is of that, but...
Ricardo Baldanzi, David, says, WTF is pickleball, facepalm emoji. So maybe reach out to him and form some kind of support group.
Right. It's hard, isn't it? Because we all sort of want there to be a longer tennis off-season, I think. And yet, as soon as the tennis goes away... things like this start popping up and you think, oh, I wish they'd just get back to playing tennis again.
Yeah. You feel like, look, if there's going to be tennis all the time, let it be proper tennis. Matt and I got to get... You find us, by the way, incidentally, in Tennis Podcast Tower's Solihull edition. Yeah. We're in David's dining room right now, looking out onto actual sunshine in Solihull.
That's not been seen here for 2 weeks.
We are honoured. We've been up here doing various, hanging out mostly, but doing various different bits and bobs of planning for 2023. Matt and I were together at Tennis Podcast Tower's London edition on Friday, planning for our end of year quiz. And to that end, I went on the WTA website to look something up. And there were live scores at the top of the page, and they were moving, David. Tennis was happening. What? Clara Towson was playing tennis.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? I'd have been in.
Emily Nichols
that.
And...
No.
Olivia Nichols.
Olivia Nichols and Alicia Barnett had just played doubles.
Oh, I wish I'd known
tennis,
that.
Like, in Limoges?
Yes.
Belgium?
I think... France.
I mean, it's not going well, is it?
It's not been, it's been a tough day for geography.
We can have our own little club, Catherine.
All in all,
geography club.
The off-season seems to be a total illusion. Mm. I mean, here we all are with tennis podcast microphones in our hands. no shortage of things to talk
21st
about.
21st of December.
Yeah, but honestly, it is a strange feeling doing a podcast. I haven't watched tennis... since the end of the Davis Cup finals.
You've missed the greatest show on earth, Matt. You're
genuinely, missing it. Genuinely, I have zero interest.
That's the thing for me. You know, it's all well and good me making my views on what they should and shouldn't accept, and I feel very strongly about some elements of it. The main thing is I'm just not interested in watching the matches that are there because they're irrelevant. Mm. I do think that there are some places, and I'm not going to include Saudi Arabia in this list, but I think there are some places that are chuffed to have these tennis players able to watch. Maybe they haven't got a tour event or something like that. I will personally probably watch a bit of the Battle of the Brits tonight, just out of interest of seeing the best English players against the best Scottish players. And I'm curious. I hope it works well.
Curious in Holloway's captaincy.
Less so in that. but I don't know. Just generally, I think an off season is good for interest levels because I told you both yesterday that I've missed talking to you about tennis on the show. I've missed podcasting. I've felt a bit empty recently, and that happens in an off season. It happens to me when the football off season happens and in the summer, and I look forward to the new season. You need to replenish that appetite for the season to start, and I mean already we're a week away, aren't we? We're 1 week away tomorrow, and just can't wait now for it to get going. But proper tennis, I don't want to see exhibitions. I'm not interested.
No, and maybe I would be sort of less grumpy about them if there was a proper off-season.
Right.
If there was a three-month-long off-season and a month of that were occupied with exhibitions that I didn't feel like were potentially compromising players' training blocks or compromising their abilities to make technical changes to their game. You know, I want players, particularly young players, to have the time and the capacity to properly improve and make significant technical changes if they want to, and I think that's pretty hard and it requires time. Billie Jean King, Matt was telling you about that, wasn't she, in relation to Coco Gauff and her forehand?
Yeah, and her opinion was that the best way for Goff to make a technical change would be to actually take some time off tour and have a longer period to work on it. And I understand that does sound like it probably would be the best solution, but it shouldn't be. You know, you shouldn't have to miss tour events to be able to make technical changes. You should have some kind of winter block, some kind of off-season where you can make those improvements, I think. Of course, I think Goff sort of can improve her forehand gradually, and I'm sure her forehand in a couple of years' time might look a bit technically different to it is now, but not to have a just a chunk of time, I think, is detrimental to probably the quality of the sport. You know, it's probably, as you said, it's going to impact some players physically. I mean, Casper Ruud has barely stopped. I think I did see a quick dash to the Maldives or somewhere on his Instagram, but then he was back to Norway, then he was off to these exhibitions. He'd already been in South America. Goodness knows. I mean, that could affect him at the start of next season. It may very well, and that would be a shame, I think, because he's made so much progress. Why potentially sacrifice that with all these exhibitions?
Does he really need a trolley dash to get as much money in as he can? I don't see how a guy who's made what he's made this last year and is going to likely make... And look, I know they're short careers. I do understand that. And people have said this to me before. When a football player has moved from my team to Chelsea to play in their under-23 team, but they've quadrupled their income for the next 5 years, whatever. And I just seem naive because they can secure their future. But Casper Ruud has reached two Grand Slam finals. He's been in the ATP final. He's loaded and he's going to be fine. He's got great sponsors, all the rest of it. I think he will probably be okay because he's such a robust athlete, and I don't think there's that much wrong with his game. He's figured out ways to protect his backhand. But Rublev, Tsitsipas, I don't see them making strides off the back of just carrying on playing tennis all the time.
No, same. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? And you're right, we should keep it in the back of my mind, our minds, as much as Matt is trying to forget the greatest show on earth just now. Another inevitability of the off-season, or of life, quite frankly, death, taxes and the coaching carousel. So news from said carousel. It's actually been, I'd say, a little less active.
It's been quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, than usual. But we do have some bits and bobs. Emma Raducanu, we knew that she was coachless after splitting from Dmitry Tursunov, who she was with for some of the hard court season for the US Open. Dmitry Tursunov is now with Belinda Bencic, incidentally, and Raducanu is now temporarily on a trial basis with Sebastian Sachs, who's a 30-year-old German. He's previously worked with Victoria Azarenka and most recently worked with Belinda Bencic for the past two seasons. So they've effectively done a sort of coaching swap, which is aptly incestuous, isn't it, for tennis? Full disclosure, I don't quite know what to make of this because I don't know much about him. Belinda Bencic has obviously had some great results, Olympic champion, Billie Jean King Cup winner. I think there have been periods where she's underachieved, definitely.
Now's the time. Now's the time, Belinda Bencic. Whereas I look at Raducanu and I think, 2 years. Ask me again in 2 years and I'll give an opinion about where she is. But now is the time for Bencic, having won that Billie Jean King Cup, major significant victory on the back of her Olympic success. Now she needs to do it on the tour at the Grand Slams this next 18 months.
Dmitry Tursunov's never coached a Grand Slam champion, has he? I mean, he's had some coaching success, but if that's what that has to be what Belinda Bencic is looking at it now. She has to be myopic about winning a Grand Slam, wouldn't you think?
Or at least going where she's never been before.
Which is
she's never been beyond
semis.
Semis?
Yeah.
Never been to a final. But if you're an Olympic gold medalist, I don't know. I think she needs to be thinking, win a slam. Hmm. Is Dmitry Tursunov the guy?
Well, he's almost in super coach territory there. He's been brought in.
Exactly.
Make the difference.
Yeah.
Make the difference, Dmitry. Come on, let's see what you got now.
Is he the guy?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I think he's definitely got something about him. I think it's about whether he gels really well with a player.
Which is an interesting one with Bencic, because I believe her boyfriend is also on that team, isn't he? Which creates a sort of pre-existing clique, doesn't it, for an outsider to come into, and a very strong personality. I don't know, it's just the gelling stage, eyes emoji on that.
I think it might work, but it's only a hunch. I don't think there's enough in his record. I mean, he hasn't proven himself to be a difference maker for a player yet.
The question mark I have on Bencic is fangs. And I don't know if you can teach fangs.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's also some game issues still with Bencic. I don't think her second serve is particularly strong. I think her forehand can sometimes let her down, and fangs. And yet I still think she probably is good enough to certainly be going very deep in slams. That's been the weird thing. It's not like she's been consistently reaching quarters and semis, and she sort of needs someone to help her get over the line. She's actually quite often not really shown up in slams and had bad results. And I actually think Tursunov will inject some, I don't know, some life, spice, some energy, some spark. He had quite an immediate effect on the players he did work with before. True. Sabalenko and Kontaveit. And even Raducanu did have some good results in the summer with him. So I don't know if I'm excited about that partnership, but I think it might work.
I'm interested because I think she's a more complete player than any of them. She may not have the power of Sabalenka, but she's so talented. And
very tactically smart, I think, as well.
I just feel like he might get her to just roar a bit out there and get the best out of her, whatever that is.
And Raducanu with Sebastian Sachs?
Don't have any knowledge of him from a personal perspective.
No, for me, the most encouraging lines out of the Raducanu camp is that she's continuing to get the advice of Jez Green.
Yes.
And I think that is so important.
Gym Instagram posts, haven't we? A lot of squats.
Yeah, that's a very off-season thing, isn't it? Yeah. Maria Sakkari always scares me during the off-season. I think she retired from four matches last year, Raducanu.
And was definitely hampered in others.
Hampered in lots. As well. You know, the rigours of the tour were tough for her. And I think that feels like the main progression that she needs to make. I think also the forehand probably as well. But that is encouraging. And yeah, I mean, Sachs is very much in line with some of the other coaches that she's had. She's not gone for Wim Fossette, for example, who is, you know, available at the moment. He's sort of the top coach at the moment. But I think, you know, would come with a very heavy price, and they've also sort of gone with slightly lower tier coaches so far.
And maybe might not be prepared to sign up to the sort of temporary trial period type arrangement that Raducanu has favoured over the last year, or Raducanu's team have favoured. Karolina Pliskova is back with Sasha Bajin. Don't quite know what to make of that. I mean, the most key Karolina Pliskova quotes from the last few months were those that she gave after working for a couple of weeks with Jez Green, the aforementioned Jez Green, who
isn't working with Jez Green?
Because Jez Green, I think, is sort of officially with Dominic Thiem, had a couple of weeks off where he did some work with Karolina Pliskova, and he's sort of also working with Emma Raducanu. But after those couple of weeks with Pliskova said that absolutely life-changing, I don't know why I didn't do this 10 years ago.
Yes.
Which is amazing, but what I want to know is she doing it now? Is she keeping up what Jez Green told her? Is he still at the other end of the phone? On the basis of those quotes, I find that more significant than
And what were
Sasha
these
Bajin
things?
Being
what,
back.
What were they doing that made such an enormous difference? Because she
moving
was
her feet.
Yeah. But I mean, I look, he's clearly a good coach, Sasha Bajin, in terms of he's had success. I mean, albeit with fantastic players. So you've always got to factor that in. But she's kind of in the Bencic camp, albeit a little more over the hill, in as that she's already reached a final. I mean, can she ever do what she's done previously, let alone get further than that? I suspect we've already seen the best of Karolina Pliskova.
I suspect the same, although I would have said that before Wimbledon 2021 as well, and before Montreal 2021. So I could very well be wrong. Bianca Andreescu is working with Christophe Lambert. Maybe it's Lambert.
Glad you read that out, because I was definitely going to say Lambert.
Well, he's a New Zealander, so it could be Lambert.
Okay.
Or he certainly has been working for Tennis New Zealand. If it's not clear, folks, we don't know that much about Christophe Lambert. He quit his role as High Performance Director at Tennis New Zealand in order to work with Andreescu. They've worked together before, when Lambert slash Lambert was working for Tennis Canada, so maybe he's Canadian?
We'll
try and find out.
Maybe there's a missing R and it's Christopher.
No, it's definitely Christophe.
Okay. I like that she's working with somebody that knows her well and she obviously has a comfort level with. I think that potentially is quite important for Bianca Andreescu. She was with Sylvain Bruno, wasn't she, when she won her US Open title. That was somebody she'd worked with for a long time and she was clearly in a comfort zone with. I mean, obviously, old Christophe has got to have more going for him than that. He's also a great coach. But
some people you want to have familiarity for and to be in that kind of comfort zone. Others you feel like need to be removed from it and told some home truths, maybe, from a more external source. I don't really know what Bianca Andreescu is, but I think the points you make are quite compelling, that she had her greatest successes with Sylvain when she was, everything was going nicely, freewheeling downhill. So, and I don't know, I think she's so good that she just needs to feel good out there.
Yeah.
And put the work in, of course, be given the right pointers, whatever those are, but just let her play, let her be able to play.
Yeah, and manifesting a run of good health for Bianca Andreescu in 2023. Let's see what she can do again.
Yes,
feels like she hasn't even really had that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it for coaching carousel news for now. I mean, no doubt there'll be, you know, the second we put our microphones down, there'll be some big breaking coaching news. But yeah, that's it for now. It's been a quiet one so far.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We've had other news. We've had a couple of weeks ago, you probably saw this, created quite a stir on Twitter in particular. We had the news break that Fernando Verdasco has been provisionally suspended for 2 months after testing positive for the drug, and bear with me here, methylphenidate. Now, methylphenidate is a drug used to treat the condition ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and Verdasco explained that he had been diagnosed with ADHD, and he had a therapeutic use exemption with a prescription from his doctor. But crucially, he had neglected to renew that therapeutic use exemption when it expired. Therapeutic use exemptions are essentially passes from the sports governing bodies to be permitted to take a banned substance for legitimate medical purposes. Vidasco accepted a voluntary ban, which conveniently lasted pretty much precisely for the off-season. So he'll be banned until January 8th, 2023.
So he missed out on the exhibitions.
Missed out, although I don't think bans apply to exhibitions.
I don't know.
So, well, because they're not tour-sanctioned events. I don't know. Mm. Anyway.
Would the greatest show on earth have wanted to sign up Fernando Vidasco is another question.
The sample that tested positive was collected at an ATP Challenger event in Rio de Janeiro in February, and that was found to contain the banned substance. The quote we have is, the ITIA accepts, which is the doping authority, accepts that the player did not intend to cheat, that his violation was inadvertent and unintentional, and that he bears no significant fault or negligence for it. Pam Shriver, hello Pam, friend of the pod, said on Twitter, through grapevines of pro tennis, I hear that many players are on ADHD meds to help sharpen focus and concentration in a manner that brings up integrity questions. Good on Pam, never afraid to speak up when she feels strongly about something in the sport. Riley Opelka, also not afraid to speak up, shall we say, said on Twitter, one of the biggest issues in tennis, why are guys taking Adderall, which is ADHD medication, for the first time in their life as adults? Legal doping, he says. And as I'm sure you can imagine, lots of other people have had opinions about this as well. Not many high profile ones prepared to speak out in the way that Pam and Riley Opelka have there, but therapeutic use exemptions, this is not the first time they've come up in tennis. They've come up an awful lot more in other sports. You've got the example of Alberto Salazar, the former athletics coach, well, he's now been banned from the sport for other things, but his first controversy was a questionable use of therapeutic use exemptions for a number of his athletes. That was asthma medication, I believe, and that has also had a lot of, that's very similar situations, had a lot of spotlight on it. In cycling, a lot of cyclists have therapeutic use exemptions for asthma. Now, there are schools of medical thought that cyclists are more prone to developing asthma. There are also some schools that say that's rubbish. I don't know. We're not a cycling podcast. There is a very good cycling podcast, though, isn't there?
There is.
For anybody that wants one of those.
It's called the Cycling Podcast.
We might have stolen one or two of their ideas. But the fact is, my understanding of ADHD, and let's stick to ADHD because, look, I think therapeutic use exemptions are a thing that needs looking at in tennis. And Andy Murray's been talking about that for a while, hasn't he? He thinks there needs to be a far more transparent system surrounding therapeutic use exemptions. But in terms of ADHD, this is not a condition that you can develop via environmental factors in the way that you can with asthma. So I do think it's a slightly different situation to asthma and cycling. And look, we're going on a certain amount of anecdotal evidence here because the situation with TUEs isn't transparent. Should it be transparent? Obviously, then you're in tricky territory of people having to disclose their private medical information. It's all so tricky. But I do think this is an issue that needs to be looked at. I just don't know the answers. It all makes me deeply uncomfortable. I don't want legitimate sufferers of ADHD. We've had Daria Gavrilova, Daria Saville now, the Australian player, speak out and say, I have ADHD. I've had it since I was a kid. And I really feel for her because
People are going to point fingers.
Absolutely.
Just by association, aren't they?
Absolutely. But if what people are saying is right, and it's as the use is as widespread as people are suggesting, and as I say, it's not transparent, so we don't know for sure. But if the anecdotal stuff we're hearing is right, then not all these players have got ADHD. Mm. For sure.
Yeah, I don't expect as an onlooker, as a media member, as a fan, to have access to everybody's medical records. That would be wrong. But I do think that they need to have as tight a process for issuing TUEs as possible, so that it comes from a central source that you have to apply to a governing body, and everybody has to apply exactly the same way in order to ensure that you are medically entitled to it and that there can't be loopholes.
And how does that differ from the current system?
Where players, you just need it's like a sick note from a doctor at school, yeah. To get you out of PE. You have a note from a, obviously they have to be a certified, you know, board certified doctor or whatever, but you can have a note from your own doctor. And provided that's a legit note,
if that's what it is, and I think I do want to, you know, find out a little bit more about the process, but that doesn't feel good enough to me. Mm. I don't, and I also feel like some players are going to have more clout than others in those circumstances, and
be able to employ, you know, shop around for doctors, you know, it's just another one of those things that we don't. We don't have all the solutions, but it makes us feel uncomfortable, I think. And we don't want to be feeling that way talking about the sport. We don't want to be watching this thing with doubts in the back of our mind and questions.
Agreed, is all I can say. I mean, there's some stuff going on out there that isn't quite right. There are people with TUEs who shouldn't have them. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
And
that's
that,
the bottom
that's
line,
not
isn't
good
it?
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And John Millman was someone else who tweeted about it. He said, yes. In general, I don't really like TUEs in professional sport. It opens up way too many loopholes to legally dope. It's very unfortunate for those with legitimate need, as is the probable case here. He's referring to Verdasco there. However, it's long been known that if you want to dope, get a TUE. Mm. So I think he seems to be wanting quite a line drawn, get rid of TUEs completely, but then as we've discussed, for someone like Darius Saville, that doesn't seem fair either. So I think it's a very, very, oof, very, very difficult issue. But yeah, if this has done anything, I think it has kind of brought it out of the shadows a little bit,
yes,
into the mainstream conversation a little bit more, and
which is no bad thing. It might make everyone uncomfortable, but, you know, hopefully discomfort en route to, if not resolution, then improvement in the situation. More newsy stuff. I did promise a lovely bitty show, didn't I? We'll get on to the hype in due course, the hype for 2023. But just to cover off the other bits of news, the LTA has been fined $1 million. That's £120,000 because the pound isn't worth anything anymore, has been fined $1 million by the ATP for their ban on Russian and Belarusian players. This is the LTA statement. They said the LTA is deeply disappointed with this outcome. The ATP, in its finding, has shown no recognition of the exceptional circumstances created by Russia's invasion of Ukraine or the international sporting community and UK government's response to that invasion. The ATP appear to regard this matter as a straightforward breach of their rules, with a surprising lack of empathy shown for the situation in Ukraine and a clear lack of understanding of the unique circumstances the LTA faced. The financial impact of both this fine and the WTA's fine will have a material impact on the LTA's ability to develop and host tennis in this country. For example, we had intended to host a number of ATP Challenger level events to give more opportunities to lower ranked players in the first quarter of 2023 and will now not be able to do this, particularly given the possibility of further fines. We will carefully consider our response and we await the outcome of our appeal against the WTA's decision and sanction.
Strong words, aren't they? Unusually strong words in if history is anything to go by. But then when has history ever seen a tournament like Wimbledon and then, by extension, the governing body of Great Britain banning players because of something outside of the sport like this? But, you know, these are also unique times with the invasion of Ukraine. So there's a heck of a lot at play here. I think that that it sounds a bit naive to me if the LTA thought there wouldn't be significant repercussions from what's happened and from banning players from the tours. But I'm not sure how you get back to a good position from here. That's the difficulty. Mm. And ultimately, everybody wants a situation, most importantly, that the war in Russia and in Ukraine, the invasion stops. That's the first thing that everybody wants. But obviously, that's beyond anybody's control within the sport of tennis. So what do you do? Do you let Russian and Belarusian players back into Wimbledon? There have been reports that would happen this next year. What about the LTA's tournaments? And these are significant sums of money, as they've said. But I'm not that surprised, based on everything I've heard over the last few months, that's ended up being the case. And they've definitely, you know, they're in a tricky position now, the LTA.
Do we think that ban will continue in 2023? Feels like a bit of a cold war, doesn't it?
Well, it is. It's a standoff. I do think they will find a way to let, unless it changes significantly for even worse than we are in a situation now, I think that they will find a way to welcome Russian and Belarusian players back this year. That's from the reports that I've read from some of our colleagues. It's also things I've heard and just generally a hunch. I don't think that they necessarily thought that they would get the reaction that they got. I think that they thought the other Grand Slams would stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder with them and do the same, and none of them did. And suddenly Wimbledon is out there on its own. I think that was a pretty uncomfortable position to be in, even though they thought they were right, and I think that they still think that they were right, but they don't like how it's ended up. And the LTA tournaments, well, they followed Wimbledon. So they're probably, hoping that it just all can go away now, really.
Mm. Yeah, I rather suspect. I don't think there will be a we did the wrong thing type situation. I don't think there'll be any backing down to that extent, but I think they will perhaps find a way to reverse the ban for 2023. But we'll see, and we'll keep you posted. Final other bits of news. We're going to end on discussing the United Cup, which is the first event of 2023, which of course starts in 2022 because tennis. But before that, the really sad news that I'm sure lots of you have heard, the death of tennis coach Nick Bollettieri at the age of 91, coach of 10 world number one players, of course, the founder of the Nick Bollettieri Academy, which became the IMG Academy, inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame in 2021. So many tributes poured into him. He is a man that has had an impact on the sport like almost no other, really. It feels a shame to pay any kind of tribute to him without Mary Carrillo here to do her impersonation, doesn't it? Because that is, whenever his name gets mentioned, I hear Mary Carrillo in my head doing an impersonation of him. And that's, I hope, exactly how he would want it.
And it was always done with such affection. Mm. Mary loved Nick Bollettieri and actually went to visit him in the last few months when she knew how unwell he was. And I know many players did. Many of his former pupils did. And there was always, throughout his coaching career, a lot of talk about whether, you know, whether he upset some people. I mean, certainly Jim Courier spoke out quite a lot about how he was, you know, put out by the way that Andre Agassi was favoured ahead of him. Mm. And yet Jim reconciled that in the years that passed. I think he was another visitor to his bedside and now speaks very warmly of Nick Bollettieri. And I think many people do. I think, look, he was a one-off, an absolute one-off. He was no angel in some regards as well. But my word, what a character. And in my personal dealings with him and experience of him, commentating with him for a few years for BBC Radio, when he was in his early 80s, the energy he had, the drive, the passion for the sport, the excitement came through in his voice. He would sit there for 3 hours alongside you and he was enjoying the sport as much as an 82-year-old man who's coached all of these players and had the academy as if he'd just discovered the sport for the first time. And it was infectious. Everybody in the room was pumped because he was.
Pumped is a great word.
I loved his company. Yeah. I really did. And he had a fantastic voice. I mean, and look, he was massively important to the sport because he changed the way players were developed to a large degree. If you think of the players like Agassi and Maria Sharapova, he developed a location for them to go to no matter where they were in the world. You know, yes, I'm sure it was expensive and a lot of these players had to go through a difficult time in order to get used to the environment and move countries and all the rest of it. But he created a pathway that just didn't used to be there and a style of play. And it wasn't to everybody's taste. Not everybody liked the Nick Bollettieri mantra and all the rest of it. But, God, what a life. What a career.
What a life, yeah.
What an impact absolutely. He had.
Billie Jean King called him one of the sport's most passionate coaches and advocates. Nick was always positive and was able to get the best out of everyone fortunate enough to work with him. So wonderful words of tribute from all over the tennis world to Nick Bollettieri. And I think we're going to end on a look ahead to, 8 days' time when the tennis season officially gets underway with the inaugural United Cup, which we're eagerly awaiting, aren't we? We don't expect it to be perfect. We know that it took a lot to get this thing across the line, to get it confirmed, to get both tours working together and on the same page in this way. We know that because of that work that it took to get it across the line, it's all happened quite last minute. And this is new. You know, I expect them to make some mistakes and, you know, we'll call out those mistakes. But in the spirit of wanting this thing to succeed, we like the idea of the United Cup, don't we? I think we can all say that. And I want this thing to be great. I don't expect it to be great in year one. I hope that it's really good. I mean, maybe it'll be great. I don't know. But
I think there'll be loads of good things and loads of things you finish and think, oh, they could change that next time.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine, so long as they're prepared to make those changes. The schedule's out. I think it's actually been out for a while, hasn't it? Tell us what we can expect, Matt, over the first few days of United Cup action.
Well, we've got group stages in three different cities, Perth, Brisbane and Sydney. And then I think after those group stages, there are sort of city finals. And then the sort of final four end up going through to the final weekend of it, which is in Sydney. I think the 7th and 8th of January. And there are some kind of like the ATP Cup in that there are going to be some matches where you think, who are these people?
Are we going to be seeing Perv Lourakis again, whose first name I can't remember?
We are once again starting our tennis season with, I think it's Mikhail Perv Lourakis.
Okay.
And there are some sort of matches like the first match in Perth, between Greece and Bulgaria, is Despina Papamikhail versus Isabella Shinikova.
That's what you've been missing, isn't it, David, over the off-season?
I tell you what, if they could just have half a decent crowd, I'll be into that because these will be a journey of discovery for me.
But, you know, we also get brilliant matches like Elise Cornet versus Donna Vekic, and
yes,
Stefanos
please.
Tsitsipas versus David Goffin, and Nick Kyrgios versus Rafael Nadal, Jessica Pegula versus Petra Kvitova. You know, there's great potential in this event, and the format is four singles and then mixed doubles, which that's one of my concerns. I'm worried that we won't get that many mixed doubles matches. I think if you had that as the first match or the middle match or something where you guarantee that it happens, I think that feels like...
It happens and it matters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And obviously when it does happen, the mixed doubles, it will really matter because that will mean it's two all. And I'm sure...
But you want to max out on that, don't you? That's
I want as many mixed doubles matches USP. As we can possibly get from this event because that's what it's about.
And it occurred to me yesterday that this being the first combined event of this kind, obviously they didn't invent combined tennis. You've got the Grand Slams, you've got the Hopman Cup, where there was, you know, similar format, the individual singles and then mixed doubles. But this is a ranking event, so men's results will affect women's ranking, and women's results will affect men's rankings. You know, if Stefanos Tsitsipas has a howler, Maria Sakkari isn't going to be too pleased. If Mikhail Pervlorakis could affect Maria Sakkari's ranking, and this could be fun.
He could have an amazing time if they perform and produce for him.
Yep. Is there, how many Tsitsipas brothers have made the Greek team?
I don't think Petros is in.
No, I don't think he is.
Crikey.
So that's a blow, he's not on isn't the schedule. It?
And I know there are big plans for you're going to get the sort of Laver Cup, United Cup style input from the team on the sidelines, which you know, when done in the right way, I think all of tennis is a fan of, aren't we? I mean, that's unique insight. I think
my good friend Stephen Farrow, who's the tournament director of the whole thing, the United Cup, has been going from location to location to location. So Perth, Brisbane, and Sydney, and sitting in all of the player dugouts in these empty stadia, and just taking pictures of
that
the vantage
an all right
points.
Job.
You know what he's like. He's just so excited about staging it and trying to put on the best possible show they can. And look, you know. That gives me confidence because it's in his hands and those of Tennis Australia, who are very good at staging events. But I just generally think that the sport is ready for this event. It is crying out for it, and I think everybody realises that. And I think that when the men and the women get together and are on the sidelines together, I think that will be a cool moment. That's not something we've had before. And I just feel as though that will make other players want to be involved next year, and there will be tweaks made, and I'm optimistic.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait. Don't have to wait long. I think it's a week today.
Week tomorrow,
29th of December. Okay.
And there'll be a few days of that where that's the only tour tennis going on, and then I think from the 2nd of January we then get, you know, tour events. So we've also got Adelaide, which is a men's and women's event. That's where Djokovic is starting his season. Ogier Aliassim, Medvedev, Rublev, Runa, Sinner. It's a great field there on the men's side and the women's side. Jabeur, Sabalenka, Kasatkina. And then there's also Auckland, which is back, I think, for the first time.
Venus Williams just got given a wild card.
She absolutely did. Wild card into that and into the Australian Open, which I'm prepared to fight people who think that's a bad idea. You can actually come at me on Twitter if you think that's a bad idea.
He doesn't say that.
I don't say that very often. I think it's fabulous news. And I believe that's also where Emma Raducanu is starting her season in Auckland as well. So, there's going to be loads of great tennis end of December, start of January.
And we will be back with our first weekly podcast of the year on the 2nd of January, by which time there'll be a few days' action from the United Cup. So we'll digest that, bring you all of our thoughts on it. I think we'll have seen Kyrgios Nadal, hopefully, by that stage. And we'll have seen, what was that Bulgaria-Greece match-up again? Matt?
Oh, you mean Despina Papamikhail versus Isabella Shinikova?
That's the badger. That's the one. Yeah, we will tune
1 a.m. in the UK.
Tune in on the 2nd of January for our full match report.
See how really up for it we are.
From Matt. You did say you were pumped about the start of the season, David. So that's when we'll be back with our first weekly podcast of the year. Then, of course, we'll have one the following week wrapping up the United Cup and the events in Adelaide, Auckland, all of it. We intend to record that podcast, Matt and I at least, from the airport on a route to Australia.
Wow.
Results so cool. And delays permitting, that is the plan. David will be following behind us the following day.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that.
Yes. We're relying on tennis sort of going according to plan, which, in my experience...
Why would we be relying on that?
That's plan A, anyway, folks.
Because we might miss the end of it.
We'll let you know plan B when we come up with it. For friends of the Tennis Podcast, over the next week, we've got two Q&As coming up for you, two separate Q&A podcasts. So if you'd like to become a friend and get access to those and... the whole bank of bonus podcasts that we've done over the course of the past year. We've got loads of Q&As in there. Roger Federer special. All of Tennis Relived are in there as well. And, of course, you'll get access to all the extra bonus pods that we'll be doing in 2023 as well, including Grand Slam review shows. They were new for 2022 and we'll, of course, be keeping those up in 2023 as well. So link is in our show notes to become a friend of the pod. You can also get yourself an intro, a shout out. 6 pet mascot slots up for grabs. I'll be very disappointed if there are any unused dog slots come the start of 2023. Thank you all so much for listening to the show and supporting it if you're able to or want to, and for spreading the word about the Tennis Podcast. It's thanks to you that this thing continues to grow and our enjoyment of doing it continues to grow. Just when you think it can't grow anymore, it does. We love making the Tennis Podcast for you. So thank you for making it possible. Thank you in particular to friends of the pod who really do make it possible. We have been to all 4 Grand Slams this year, and that is because of the Tennis Podcast. We're already booked to go to Australia and to the French Open. We'll be at all 4 Slams again in 2023 and maybe some other events besides as well. We have some special thank yous, don't we, David?
Yeah. We do, because there are some people that, I mean, have backed us with extraordinary sums, really.
With gusto.
Yeah, and made their pets our personal mascots. And Darwin has been an absolute gem and a joy for me. So thank you, Carrie, for making Darwin my mascot.
Not a success, but a gem and a joy.
Absolutely. I didn't do too well in the newsletter predictions, but I did do well in the annual predictions, which is another slot that you can get involved in, a sort of annual tournament, which I finished 3rd out of 71. So actually, Carrie and Darwin, I think I've been rather hard done to in that little
But back to the newsletter predictions. Matt, your tribute to the dearly departed Gerald, your mascot for the year, is finishing top of that newsletter predictions.
It is, yes. And thank you to Daryl for putting forward Gerald as my mascot this year. I got quite a lot of texts throughout the year from Daryl. I think he really wanted to win. You know, even though he wasn't in it, he really wanted me to win. He was giving advice.
Kind of backed the right horse, didn't he?
And I took it seriously. I had a good run. I think I just kept picking Świątek to win things when she was winning things, which got me a good lead, and I hung on at the end. David was making moves at the end, but was how far back is too far back? You were too far back.
I was too far back. I was launching Hail Marys from 60 yards away.
And I should say, I did terribly in the annual predictions,
Matt finished last of the 3 of us in the annual predictions. Yeah,
I did by a long way.
I did very respectably, not quite as well as you, but I'm okay. 15th or something for me.
I think maybe even 12th.
Oh, okay. Fine. Absolutely okay. Fine. And Carter, I can inform you that we came second in the newsletter predictions, which again, I'm okay with.
And who
it's just very important to me that I don't finish last out of the three of us. So second in both.
Who won our annual?
Is okay.
Who finished ahead of me in the annual predictions?
Mark Hillman was second. He did brilliantly at all the slam predictions, where we pick our quarterfinalists, semi-finalists, finalists and winners. He was ahead. He was winning. However, we make some sort of season-long predictions right at the start in January that everyone forgets about. I can't even remember what we've predicted until I go back to have a look at it. And Jordan Holt ended up winning when you combine the slam predictions and those year-long predictions. He did absolutely brilliantly, and he is our winner and will be receiving some Tennis Podcast merch of his choice. So well done, Jordan.
David's modelling some right now.
Yeah,
I will pop a picture of that on Instagram shortly.
Oh.
I'd like to say a very special thank you also to Essam, our ultimate predictions opponent for 2022. He took us on in the newsletter predictions, the aforementioned newsletter predictions, which was won by Matt. Particular thanks to Essam, frankly, for making us all look good.
Cheers, Essam.
Because Essam finished a valiant fourth out of four. Which honestly, Essam, I am so grateful for. Appreciate you, Essam.
And Essam was a delight to deal with, because that's a lot of predictions that we make. And he was always on the ball with his predictions and very, very easy to work with, if that
and
is
to beat.
Work.
Great.
And, yeah.
What a combination.
Absolutely.
The perfect opponent. We're hoping for the same from Matthew in 2023, who's already signed up to be an Ultimate Predictions opponent. Matthew, we are ready for you. There's only one way down. It's one thing getting to the top, Matt. It's another thing staying there. That's what they say.
Yes, Carlos Alcaraz and I have very similar seasons coming up.
There are two spots left if anybody else would like to take us on for 2023. We would like to thank Ilana Kloss and Billie Jean King for sponsoring Billie Jean the dog for 2022. She's been desperately clawing at the door, trying to invade the recording for the past hour to no avail. So thank you, Ilana and Billie Jean. That is much appreciated. Thank you to Kyle Weingartner and Chris Albert Lee, our 2022 executive producers and all around top blokes.
Yeah, they really are. And it's been, I don't know, I just love it. I love this sort of the regularity of being able to refer to them and think of the support they've given us. And they truly are top blokes.
Mm, makes us feel warm inside, Kyle and Chris. I do this every time. Chris Albert or Chris? Is it Chris Albert Lee or Chris Albert Lee?
I think it's Chris
Albert Lee.
Lee,
yes. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers, Chris.
You really should know. I've sent him a lot of emails saying, hey, Chris. So
yeah, great. Okay. And he hasn't corrected
me. And he hasn't corrected me.
Cool. So he's either really polite or he's called Chris. Great. If you'd like to be an executive producer and a top bloke, or this is gendered language, isn't it? Because I don't think there is a female equivalent of bloke.
You're going to have to work on
gal,
that.
Gal, top gal. It's a bit lame, isn't it? We'll finesse that. If you'd like to be a top bloke or gal in 2023, you can. And I bet you really want to after the sell that I just gave it. The links, as always, folks, are in our show notes. And our last mention of the day is for Bailey, our mascot for this episode. Bailey is owned by Juan, and Bailey is a beautiful and full of energy Brittany Spaniel. Loves sitting next to me while we listen to the Tennis Podcast or alongside the rest of the family while watching Rafael Nadal at all times. That is the true, says Juan. Love that. A friend gave Bailey to us as a puppy because our family loves these dogs. They used to have four Brittany Spaniels. And Juan says, my wife and kids all love him very much. There'll be a picture of Bailey in our newsletter and on our Instagram. So thank you, Juan, for bringing Bailey into our lives. And Matt, for the final time in 2022, we have shout-outs.
We have Lee Ferguson in Gillingham, Kent.
Right, Lee.
Hello, Lee. Is Gillingham in Kent? Yeah. I thought Gillingham was up north.
No, it's in Kent.
Okay.
Again, geography today.
Are there two of them?
There may well be several Gillinghams. I think they played last night, actually, Gillingham, didn't they?
This is like when I discovered Millwall was in London.
You didn't know that? Even I knew that.
Yeah, embarrassingly
recently.
Recently? Quite recently, yeah.
Where did you think it was?
Like, I don't know, I'd never thought about it. I'd never given it any thought at all.
Fair.
We're not great on geography.
It's a place that only exists as a football location. I don't know it for anyone else. I've never met or heard anyone say. Anyway, no one from Millwall's giving us a shout out, so.
Not the moment. Never in the future now either. But anyway, thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
We've got a sort of Kent special today because we've got Jane McMenemy, who's in Sevenoaks. And Jane says, the shout out is actually for my daughter, Alice, who is 11 years old and loves tennis and the tennis podcast.
Oh, hi, Alice.
Alice, I am sitting next to two number one balloons, or rather a set of number 11 balloons in honour of David's son, who's recently turned 11. So for today, we'll repurpose them for you,
yes.
Alice.
Mm. And it's also about to be our 11th year of production, so, you know, it all works.
Multi-purpose balloons.
Jane and Alice, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
We've got Laura Lane in Nottingham.
Great name, Laura.
All right, Laura.
Laura was introduced to the tennis podcast in 2016 by her fellow enthusiast Jane Bowers, and neither of them have missed one since, they say.
Wow. Love that.
That's
from
amazing.
Nottingham, did you say?
Yes.
That is where I went to university and where my mum is from.
Laura. Like Laura Robson and Laura Galassa, a player from the 90s.
And Laura Arruabuena.
Nice. And has Laura
I think that's spelled differently.
Has Laura Robson become the Nottingham
tournament
director?
That's right, yeah.
Gosh, it's all...
It's all coming together.
It's all connected. We've also got Lynn Rasmussen in Minnesota again.
Hey.
Oh, like Lin-Manuel Miranda?
No, L-Y-N-N-E.
Oh, okay. Like Lynn from Alan Partridge. But Lynn's from Minnesota, so I won't understand that reference.
We just try to find lots of reasons to say Lin-Manuel Miranda because he listens to us. I do, anyway.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn.
I'll spare you my Alan Partridge impression.
And finally today, we've got Isabella Suarez in the Philippines.
Wow.
Oh,
so
hey,
cool.
Isabella.
Right, Isabella.
And Isabella comes with dog news, Catherine.
Oh.
She says her favourite dog breed is the Schnauzer.
Oh,
and her life
dog.
Goal is to own all three sizes at the same time. Just imagine such a trio on walks.
She's miniature, standard, and giant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have to show me a photo later because I don't know what they look like.
They're just different sizes, David. She currently has a mini Schnauzer named Socks.
Oh, they've got very characterful faces, okay. Schnauzers. They look wise. Mm.
Marvellous. Isabella, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody that's had a shout out in 2022. All of it, all the pet mascots, all of our mascots, executive producers, guest editors, the lot of you. You make the show happen. So thank you very much. We cannot wait to come back in 2023 and do it all again for the remainder of our 11th year and the start of our 12th. Extraordinary stuff. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays, and we'll see you in 2023.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.